Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be back in Texas. Woo! Man, thank you for allowing Cheryl and I to get away. We missed last Sunday, and we were, I don't remember where we were in Sunday, Cheryl. Where were we?
On a train.
We were on a train. Just like Johnny Cash, we were on a train. I want you to repeat after me. Gelato is of the Lord. Go ahead and say it with me, okay? Gelato is of the Lord. No, you got to repeat it with me. Here we go. Gelato is of the Lord, okay? If you've never had Italian gelato, whoo! I almost didn't come home, but I think you might be able to get it here somewhere. I don't know. But we had a great time. You know, I want to thank Marv for filling in last week, and more than filling in, I've actually got a chance to listen to Marv's message online, and thank you, brother, for bringing the Word of God. You know, it's a blessing. When I first became pastor here, it was Terry and I were, we was basically Terry and I up here on the stage, and that was scary. Terry was scared to death because I was the only one up here with her. But it's just, God has brought in amazing people to our worship, to our church, our praise team. We have three teams that rotate through here. This morning, Trevor was on call, and he thought he was going to be able to be here, and he was here, and got about halfway through practicing and got called out. And Larry, thank you for stepping in. I mean, it's just amazing, just step in there and do it, you know. And then the technical, Billy mentioned the technical difficulties. Alan back there, bless your heart, Alan. Normally, I know it's kind of technical, but normally with the overheads, you can just kind of get a song started and you just kind of push the down arrow and it just leads you right to the next screen. He's having to kind of more or less restart every song, every screen. So it's like a screen, go back, restart song, go another screen, go back. And so he's doing an amazing job to keep up with all that. We will get that technical problem figured out this week. But it's just amazing how God has brought so many people into our church with so many gifts, and I'm very blessed and appreciative of that. If you are visiting with us this morning, first of all, I hope that you feel the love of Christ. I mean, you know, if Christ is not here, if the Holy Spirit is not here, I mean, there's lots of places we can go and just gather in fellowship, right? But when we come to worship, there's something more. God is involved. God is there. And so I hope you feel that, and I hope you feel the love of His people in our church. We want to be a loving church. We're not a perfect church, but we really want to be a church that exudes the love of Christ. There's a blue card in the pocket in front of you if you are visiting with us this morning, and we invite you to fill that out. It's a way for us to know you were here. And I promise we're not going to, you know, stalk you or bug you or anything. You may get a visit or a phone call or something like that, just to say you're glad you're here, but we will not bug you. But it's just, you know, some people want to fly under the radar, and that's okay. If you want to fly under the radar, you're welcome to come and do that. But we, you know, part of, and I will talk about this in my message today, part of being the people of God is to be connected. So we hope to invite you to be a part of that. So if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This book is attributed to the Apostle Paul and to the church that he started in Corinth. And it's interesting, you've heard the term body of Christ. That's a scriptural term. It's not just something that we make up. It's throughout Scripture we're referred to as the body of Christ. And so 1 Corinthians 12, I want to pick it up in verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, I want to stop for just a second and point out that I've said this before. I know that other pastors will say this, is that, you know, if you ask, it's a trick question. If somebody asks you how many churches there are in Abilene, Texas, don't be fooled by that and try to come up with a number, because the number is one. If we are truly the body of Christ, we may meet in different places. We may call ourselves with different names, but we truly are part of one body. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Skipping down to verse 27. Now, you, take your finger, take your index finger, and point at yourself. You, if you are in Christ, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We long to hear from you. We long to be with you. We long to be near you. Speak in power and authority. Do with us as you will. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. One of Cheryl and I, mostly Cheryl, but I like it too, one of our favorite shows is House Hunters. Anybody ever watch House Hunters? It's just fun. I mean, they've got one for the United States, and they've also got these international House Hunters where they look at homes in other countries. And what the basic premise of the show is, there's a realtor, and there's this normally a couple, and they tell them kind of what they're looking for, and they identify these three homes, and they go and they pick out the one that they like the best. And it's just kind of interesting to see all the differences in homes. I want you to watch this video. Now, we're having technical difficulties. Alan, if you can, roll that video. Let's try it. Yeah, roll the audio too. I forgot to say that. If you get some audio going, push it back. Okay. You know what? God doesn't need technology. Did you know that? So just kill it. It's just a humorous video, and I'll just kind of give you a snapshot of the video. It's this young couple, and they're church hunting, and it's just hilarious the different things that they are asking about. They're asking about the pastor. Does he have his shirt tucked in, or does he have his shirt tucked out? Does he have frayed jeans, or are they not frayed? Is he, you know, and they go on and look, and you know, they talk about. Certain churches have the monitor that comes up when your child is, you know, needing attention, and you have your child's name, and they call it the parents' walk of shame when you walk out, and we don't have that, but they're talking about how they, you know, they're interested in the name of the church. You know, is it a cool name, do they let out in time to making time for kickoff and all of those things. And so the point, had we watched the video, I think you would have enjoyed it. It's humorous. Maybe we can do it later. But the point of that video is, and the question that comes to my mind, are we consumers as Christians, or are we servants? I mean, that question comes to my mind often. Cheryl and I have done it. Before I was a pastor, we moved to Lubbock a few years ago when the girls were little, and you're shopping for churches. Our tendency is, you know, do we like the church? Are the people friendly? Did we like the pastor? It was a message, what we wanted it to be. Do they have programs that we want? And I'm not saying those are bad things, to be looking for those things. But do we ever ask the question, is this where God would have me be? Can I serve here? Is there a place for me to be part of the body and to serve? Or are our questions more like, what do they have to offer to me? You know, so today's message is, we are created for covenant. We are created for covenant. And that's not a word that we use all the time, but it's a very, notice my Italian flair with the slide this morning. I had to get a little of the Sistine Chapel in there. Well, Cheryl and I got to see the Sistine Chapel and the Vatican and so forth. Even in that painting that Michelangelo did on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, there's the painting of God's creation, his interpretation of God's creation of Adam, and how God, there's this longing as the hands come to touch. There's this longing that God has for relationship with his creation. And then there's this need of God's creation to be one with God. So there's this, from the very beginning, God is a God of covenant, a God of relationship. God went on in his word. He, as we see it throughout, it's the Old Testament covenant through Abraham, we see all these different covenants that God makes. And a covenant basically is a promise. It's a promise. And the covenant was a very serious word in biblically. It's a very serious word. God said that he was going to create, he was going to be make covenant with us, his people, through Abraham, and that he would be our God, and we would be his people, that there would be this covenantal relationship between him and his people. And I will say he's also calling us as believers in Christ in this passage, the body of Christ, that this the sheer connectedness of the body. You know, mine feels like it sometimes, but our body is in one piece. It's together. I mean, when there's different parts of our body as the scripture lays out, but we're together. There is a unity and a oneness to the body, even though we have different parts. Now, I want to kind of paint this picture of the Old Testament, what's known as the Old Covenant, and then Christ came and instituted a new covenant. He changed things, or he fulfilled things. In the Old Testament, the Old Covenant was established through animal sacrifices. I can't remember exactly, I'll have to look up the reference, but there's a passage where God is talking about, the tradition with the Jewish people, when two people made covenant with one another, this is kind of gross, but it's the way they did it, they would take animals, and it was always their best animals, and they would cut them in half. And they would separate the animals. They'd put the one half of the animal over here, and they'd put one half of the animal over there. And there was obviously there was blood involved. And they would, the two people who were making covenant, making promises to one another, would walk down through the middle path of these animals that they had both sacrificed some of their prime stock. And making this covenant together, so the Old Testament covenant involved sacrifice, animal sacrifices. The new covenant, we know through Scripture, that the new covenant is established through Christ's sacrificial death, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So no longer do we as people need to sacrifice our animals because to make covenant with one another and to make covenant with God, because God has given us his lamb and made covenant with us through the sacrificial death of Christ. So in the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant was circumcision. Again, a bloody act. There was blood involved in that process. So the sign of the covenant in the Old Testament was circumcision. The sign of the covenant in the New Covenant is baptism. We were going to have an infant baptism this morning, which I know is foreign to some of you that weren't brought up in a tradition, church tradition that celebrated infant baptisms. But when we do that, hopefully in the next week or two, I will talk about what this means. It's not a moment of salvation. It's a moment of bringing that child in under the covenant of Christ. A sign of the covenant is baptism. Now, I would note that in the Old Testament sign of the covenant, circumcision, the child was brought at 8 days old, and the child had no decision-making piece of that process. The child was 8 days, couldn't say yes or no to that process, but the parents were presenting the child to receive the sign of the covenant. In other words, and here's what's interesting that we miss about baptism is the piece that God plays in that. Hello, I hope you're listening to me. Because we see baptism too many times. We see baptism as what we're doing, the decision we're making, the step that we're taking. But we forget God's involved in this too. God is involved. So the sign of the New Testament covenant, the new covenant, is baptism. Sign of the Old Testament, circumcision. We remember the Old Testament, or they remembered the Old Testament covenant through the sprinkling of blood. Once a year, the high priest would be sacrifice, and they would go into the Holy of Holies and the altar, and they would sprinkle blood, and they would come out and they would sprinkle blood on the people, and it was a way of remembering this covenant that we have with God. He will be our God, we will be his people. Well, Scripture doesn't say do it once a month, but we happen to do communion once a month. And we can read it on the front of our table. What did Jesus say when he instituted Holy Communion? Remember me. So there is a remembering of the covenant. When we come and partake of Holy Communion, that is a way of remembering the sacrificial death of Christ. So all of this is kind of really a side point to the message today. But I want you to understand that God is a God of covenant. He's been in covenant from the very beginning, and he's calling us to be in covenant. Now, I'm skipping ahead to something I was going to say later, but I want to say it now. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity to respond to us as a church. You may have been a member here 50 years or whatever, and so I would be asking you, do you still renew your covenant to be in covenant with us? Maybe you've been visiting here for 2, 10, 15 years and never joined. So you will have an opportunity this morning to make a decision for that. Perhaps this is your first Sunday. But my question is this. I was asking, it's frustrating for a pastor. I mean, that's what we do. It's frustrating. It's not because my goal is never to, golly, if we can just have, double how many join this year from last year. I mean, that's been a successful year. I want to see lives transformed. I mean, that's what I want to see. But I do wonder that question of people that have come here for a long time and haven't joined. I ask myself that question. Why? I mean, of course, a pastor's, our inclination is to go, what did I do? If somebody used to be really regular and all of a sudden they stopped coming, Marv, yeah? What did I do? Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Did I not visit when I should have? Were they offended by this or that? So pastors tend to internalize those things. And maybe sometimes that's accurate. I was talking to another pastor recently, and I said, man, do you, and he's been a very successful pastor for many decades, and I asked him, do you wonder why that happens? Why people don't join the church or whatever? And he said, well, I found that young people especially just don't see the need for it. They just kind of like, why do I join? And he said, I've shifted to focusing on getting people engaged, just engaged, involved, rather than joining. And I get that. I really do. I do get that. But my question, because that's just the way I am, I question, is not why do I need to be a member, but why not? That's my question. I'm like, why not? I mean, you know, I've used this an illustration before, but when my dad's last two or three years, I took him to the Lions Club because that was important to him, and he couldn't go, and so I took him. Almost every week I was there, Dan, you going to join our Lions Club? And there's nothing wrong with the Lions Club, and Dad's Lions Club had some great people in it, and I loved them, but I told him, I said, no, I'm not. I'm just bringing Dad. I love you guys. I think y'all are awesome, but I can't be what I would need to be a member of your Lions Club. I can't be involved the way I would want to be involved and so forth. So I'm not going to join. I had a very specific reason, and I told him I'm that's why. But if I had an intention to be a lion, they call themselves lions, if I had an intention to be a lion, it's like, and I like that one, I would have joined it. But I had no intention to be a lion. It wasn't on my radar. God is calling us, church, to be in covenant with each other, not to just find a place that we like and slip in and slip out and have our feet, you know, feed our soul and slip in and slip out. And that's fine. I want you to not. I really don't want you to receive any shame from anything I'm saying. If you're not a member and you don't have any intentions to be a member, you're welcome to come here forever. But I just would ask you to just ask the Lord, is that what you want for me? Is this the place you would have me to not just come and be a consumer, but be a servant, to serve out of this place? So we are created. I'm going to move into my points here. We are created for covenant because we are called to be one. It's not a request. It's not something God says, well, if you really feel like it, you need to be one. I mean, over and over throughout Scripture, we are told that to be one. And the passage we read today, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. If we're in Christ, we belong to the church, and he's calling us to be one with one another. He's calling us to be one. Ephesians, again, Paul's writings to the church in Ephesus, says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. If only they would use the word one, we might understand this better. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We are called to be one. It's not optional in Christ. And I hear all the time, I hear different people go, well, I'm a Christian, but church hurt me, or a pastor hurt me, or this or that and everything. It's like, you can be a Christian without going to church. It's like, yeah, you know what? I tell people that I'm a golfer, too. I hadn't played in 3 years. And before that, I played once. So, I mean, you know, like, I'm not much of a golfer. In all honesty, Steve, you've played with me, yes? It's true. So, boy, that was rude, Steve. I believe that's the rudest thing I've ever had said to me, but am I really a golfer? I mean, you got to play. We are called to be one. Throughout Scripture, I mean, God just oozes unity. He oozes covenant. He oozes relationship. God Himself, who He is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, even God Himself is relational with Himself. Marriage, we see in the analogies in marriage that we are the bride of Christ, that Christ is our bridegroom, that the two shall become one flesh. Please, I'm not trying to shame anybody. I'm just trying to speak the truth here. It's the difference between living together. I know young people today, that's more of a common thing, living together and getting married. I would tell people that I've married people that will come, and some pastors won't do it. They won't marry someone who's been living together. And I'm like, really? I mean, they're trying to make a step here and get it right. I mean, you know, let's help them. Let's help them. Let's help them understand the difference. Because living together, there's no covenant. Shake your head if you're listening to me. There's no covenant. We can leave any old time we want to. Now, I know we can in marriage, too, that's become more popular. But in marriage, there's been covenant. So you have to break the covenant for that to be separated. There has to be a separation and a break. But in living together, it's just like, I just changed my mind. Covenant. The two should become one flesh. Adoption. And I see it. I know we've got some foster parents in our family and in our church family, and God bless you, man. I don't know how you do it, and may God bless you, because that's difficult to care for a child, and that child may or may not end up staying in the family. But until they are adopted, this is not a harsh thing, it's just reality. They're just visiting. You're just a temporary stop. And adoption makes covenant. Now, again, that's not saying foster family. That's foster family is a godly thing, and I affirm it wholeheartedly. I remember the movie Blindside. Anybody remember the movie Blindside? And the large black guy that ended up going and playing NFL football, and he's living with this white family, and they grow to love each other. You know, they're just getting him off the street, and they grow to love each other, and over a period of time, I don't know how long it was, months or maybe even a year or two, the husband and the wife decide, we want to adopt him and make him part of our family officially. And so they go to him, and they're like, hey, we really would like to adopt you. And he's confused. Like, what? And we want you to be part of our family. He's like, I thought I already was. You know? But in his mind, he wasn't a foster kid. He was part of the family. There was covenant there. He belonged to the family. Now, I don't know why I'm weird this way, but a negative vision of this, of not being unity. I picture that, you know, we all have these kind of images of heaven, what heaven might look like, and God's word says that we don't know for sure. We can't have the full understanding of that, but we know it's going to be good. And I envision, you know, I'm gonna see my dad again, and my brother, and my granny. And I'm going to see the Lord face to face. So we have this vision, but the vision that I don't have is this little Christian sitting over in the corner by himself. Just all by himself. I'm in heaven. I'm right here. Does anybody have that vision of heaven? We're going to be together. We're going to be in covenant. We're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with the loved ones who've gone before us. And there's going to be great rejoicing. And there's going to be relationship. And all of those things. And it's like, holy cow. It's almost like we're created for covenant. So Secondly, we're created for covenant because we need each other. Man, don't we need each other? I got to tell you, Cheryl and I had a great trip in Italy. And everything went really as smoothly as I think it possibly could go. We came back alive. That was a good thing. But the greatest joy I had was coming home and seeing my family. And then right second was seeing you this morning. I'm sorry, you ran a close second. But we need each other. You know, the scripture that we read today in verse 17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And that makes me think of Cheryl and I all the time, because you could like stand in my ear and shout, and I'm probably going to have to ask you my favorite line is. What'd you say? And Cheryl, bless her little old heart, she gets her alarm clock and she gets her glasses and she gives her one of these. I'm sorry, Cheryl, I'm telling your secrets. Without her glasses, she's hopeless. And I can see pretty good. I mean, I'm not perfect without my glasses, but I can still function pretty well. But I can't hear it thunder. And between the two of us, we make one good person. I mean, we balance each other. And I hadn't told a shoulder story in a while. Some of y'all don't know this, but my shoulders, I got hurt playing football in high school, and they come out, they haven't in a while because I've learned what I can and cannot do. But when I was younger and very active, my shoulders, it's really gross. You ought to see it, right, Johnny? My shoulders come out of socket when I'd play basketball or something, and it's kind of like, and you'd be like, y'all wait for me, just a minute. My arm would literally be out of socket. And what I have learned over the years is, as I've gotten older and more experienced and less active, is I've learned that you can't do that. That right there, you can't do that. You see, I've had surgeries, but this is sad, but my surgeon, the last time I was in there, he took an x-ray. This was a few years ago. He took an x-ray, and he's in the room, and he's looking at this x-ray, and he said, there's your problem. And boy, I'm getting over there with the x-ray. What is it? And he goes, down to my birthday. He was a friend of mine, by the way, But he said, there's your problem, this year right here. But we learn to function, church. We're all messed up. If you don't realize you're messed up, ask somebody and they'll tell you you're messed up. Because I'm messed up. We're broken. And we learn to function in our brokenness, don't we? We learn that, if we're lucky, we learn to function in our brokenness. Sometimes our brokenness rules us. That's not God's will for us. God's will for us is wholeness, wellness. And I want to say this, a missing or wounded part of the body makes for an incomplete body. When if there's some of us, if we're wounded I think of the things we have done, some wonderful things through Wiley Methodist Church, and things that I rejoice in, but I'm thinking if every one of us really plugged in and did what the Lord has gifted us to do. Oh, what a powerful weapon Wiley Methodist would be in the kingdom. A missing or wounded part makes for an incomplete body. If you're not, I'll just say it, Larry, if you hadn't stepped in this morning, I'd have been singing, she'll be coming around the mountain or something. I don't know. But we need each other. We need each other. We're created for covenant because we need each other. And finally, we are created for covenant because it brings God glory. Unity brings God glory. Listen to this prayer for unity that Jesus prayed out of John 17. And Jesus is he's kind of wrapping things up before he goes to the cross. And he's it's you ever had those? And I consider it a blessing if I'm ever there when someone is coming to the end of their life. Cheryl, I hope it doesn't embarrass you, but I got to say I had a great visit with Cheryl Leonard's. Her mom passed away this past week, and the day or two before we left for Rome, I actually got to visit with her, and man, just the joy. She knew what was coming. She knew time was short, and she knew the Lord, and it was just like, bring it on. I am excited. I am ready. I'm excited for that next chapter, and so that's really kind of what's happening here with Jesus. He's coming to those that end. It's like, what does he have to say to us right before he goes to the cross? And here's what he said. My prayer is not for them alone, speaking of the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. That all of them, us, may be one. There's that word again. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Oneness convinces the world that Jesus is real. When the church is unified. Now, I got to tell you, on our way home from Italy, I think I watched about 19 movies on that trip home. I mean, I don't even remember, but I remember one of them, and there was a widowed pastor in this movie. I'd never heard of the movie, but he begins dating this girl, and there's these little church people that are giving him all sorts of grief and giving her all sorts of grief because they just think it's inappropriate that their widowed pastor should have anything to do with dating. And I remember thinking, of course, it turns out good because it was a chick, kind of a chicky kind of flick, you know, it all turns out good. But I remember thinking halfway through the movie, it's like, wow, the damage we can do when we're representing Christ, the damage we can do. I mean, if we don't represent him well, if we're not in covenant with one another and in unity with one another and loving on his behalf, the damage we can do. But on the flip side of that, the power that we have. Jesus says that when we're one with him, the world will believe that you, God, have sent me. Our unity convinces the world that Jesus is the Son of God. Shake your head if you're even hearing what I'm saying to you. After Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came on the first church, this is what was said, what's recorded in Acts chapter 2. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together. In the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Do you hear the oneness? Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The people are seeing this and going, I want me some of that. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That first sermon that Peter preached, 3,000 people came to the Lord. Unity, covenant, relationship draws people to the Lord that the world may believe. On Sunday this month, on Sunday, November the 27th, 1904, 26 people walked forward in a little one-room church shared with Wiley Independent School District and pledged to support this new little church called Wiley Methodist, with their prayers, presence, gifts, and service. And they were down the street. We were down the street on Buffalo Gap Road, which was out in the middle of nowhere back in those days. Today, 113 years later, Wiley United Methodist, the United was added, we are still faithfully sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, 113 years later, and I praise God for that. Not that survival is not the thing, but sharing the gospel. To see lives transformed. That's what fuels me. I hope that's what fuels you. If you wouldn't mind, just there's a blue card in the bulletin this morning. I'm going to invite you. Now, again, I want to again say, please don't receive anything that I've said with shame. That's shame is from the enemy, it's not from God, and I certainly don't want to shame anyone. And you are welcome to come and be part of our church as long as you want to do that without making anything official. But again, I would just ask you to ask the Lord, why? Why would you want to do that? So I'm asking you this morning, if you've been a member 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, or not a member at all, I'd ask you to kind of look over this with me. You know, covenant is promises made by both parties. It's God promised to be there to Abraham, I'll be your God and you'll be my people, that there would be this relational relationship with one another. So on the left is what I am asking to you either to prayerfully consider committing to, maybe for the first time this morning and maybe once again, to pray for my church fellowship, my church and fellow members regularly, to be present in worship and other church events regularly, to support my church with my spiritual and financial gifts, to find an area of ministry where I can serve Christ and His people, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's when you come into official. You know, when I do weddings, I have the bride and groom. They recite vows. I promise to love him, comfort him, honor and keep him, forsaking all others, be faithful to him, and so those are promises that the bride and groom make to one another. And as your church family, we make a promise to you to provide opportunities for you to grow and live out your faith in Christ, to provide opportunities for you to develop deep and lasting friendships and community with God's people, to provide opportunities for you to deepen your understanding of the Bible and the Christian faith, to be good stewards of your financial gifts to this church and God's kingdom, to provide physical, emotional, and spiritual care with great love and compassion. That's our commitment to you. And if you ever feel like that we are letting you down on that, my office is open. I welcome you to come and visit with me, and we'll talk things out. I meant to sign those. I'll sign those later. I meant to have my signature already on yours. I didn't get it done. But if you renew that covenant this morning, I ask you to sign your name under the member line. And in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity where you can bring those forward to the prayer rail and lay those down as a sign of your renewal of that. Perhaps you have not made that covenant with our church, and I invite you to consider that. If there's a box you can check there, please put your name and then check that box and then your phone number and email. And if you would write where I can tell what it is, if you write to, you know, some people write a little weird and I can't read it. So if you don't get a call and you're a sloppy writer, that may be why. So that's, and it's okay, as I said, it's okay if you don't bring one of these forward. I invite you, if you bring this sheet forward, I want you to do that through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So if our praise team will come, as they're coming up, they're going to lead us in this last song. And that's when I invite you to bring those sheets forward. I also want to tell you that next Sunday at 9 a.m., I'm having a discovery class in the fellowship hall where we talk about the church and how to make your membership official and who we are and what we're about and how you can be engaged and let you ask questions and so forth. That's next Sunday at 9 a.m. that will be offered. But I still would appreciate this filled out today if that's so on your heart. So as we stand, let me pray as we start this last song. Father, we, first of all, it's really humbling that you love us enough to make relationship with us. To even desire that, Lord, I think about what a knucklehead I am, that you would want relationship with me. I fail you all the time, and yet you love me. So, Lord, I thank you for assembling this body of believers that you have, that we call ourselves Wiley Methodist Church. But, Father, we're really your children. I thank you for that, and I pray, God, that you would stir our hearts and you would deepen us, and you would show us how we move forward. Lord, bless those this morning in Jesus' name, amen. So as we sing, I invite you to bring these forward. But one body. Now you take your finger, you know what to do, point. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Go and celebrate it. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. Tell Carlene Trim's birthday. Tell her happy birthday.
Nothing but the blood. One more time.